Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
0-2 pitch, swung on, popped up, foul territory. Harper over near the stands, has room, makes the catch. And the Phillies, what a night in Washington. As they score eight times in the ninth inning, they erase two different deficits in both the eighth and the ninth, and they win a wild one, 14-9 the final.
Never a freaking doubt, huh? Never a doubt. Welcome on in. It is the final out. Jack Fritz hanging out with you here on this Tuesday night. As always, the final out is sponsored by the Philadelphia Parking Authority, offering valet park at the Philadelphia Airport. What a comeback win, 14-9. There is so much to get to. But you talk about a game, I think TK tweeted a little bit earlier, and he's dead right. There's like 5 to 10 games it feels like you remember throughout a regular season, and then everything else is just a baseball season. Well, tonight is one of those games that's going to stick out for a while, because what they did in the ninth is not something that happens very often, and certainly doesn't happen very often with this baseball team and that offense. All of those runs in the ninth with two outs. Overall, great fight, great grit, especially after Kyle Schwarber is ruled out seemingly minutes before the game with lower back tightness, entering Edmundo Sosa, who, collects, what, 5 RBIs tonight in place of him, a late insert into the lineup, a big home run to get them going. So there's a lot to get to. The game wrap-up is sponsored by Roto-Rooter. When plumbing problems hit, wrap them up quick and call Roto-Rooter. Their team tackles clogs and leaks so you can stay in the game. Roto-Rooter, your MVP for plumbing solutions. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in on this one. Seemed like there's a lot of Phillies fans, as always, down in Nationals Park. Clayton Beter said he loves beating the Phillies more than anyone because you guys are in the stadium. Well, you were able to get one on Clayton Beter tonight. That was nice, but also, obviously, coming back against Brad Lord. So, if you're on your way back from Washington, would love to hear from you as well. But I'm going to do something a little bit differently tonight than I usually do, because obviously I will get to the biggest takeaways of the game. But I have not heard the Fransky calls yet of two of the biggest moments of the game, the Marsh home run and the Stott home run. So before we get to the biggest takeaways of the game, here is how the Brandon Marsh home run sounded as called by Scott Fransky.
Marsh swings, hits a high drive, right field, one is back and out of room, and it's tied! Brandon Marsh blasts one out to right, a two-run home run with two outs in the ninth, and it's 8-8.
Right after a Trey Turner single with two outs. Never doubted him there for a second either. Not for 1 second. That's my leadoff hitter, Trey Turner. And then here is the big fly by Bryson Stott.
The pitch swung on, hit in the air, deep right field, down the line. It is fair and gone. It's
yes!
A home run.
Oh, yeah.
Bryson Stott into the second deck with a 3-run home run. Absolutely destroyed it. Did Bryson Stott, the second homer of the ninth inning, and the Phillies lead it 11-8.
We got a little big game Fransky. We got a little big game Fransky in that one. Unbelievable. The biggest takeaways of the game are brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. And Mattingly joked about it postgame, but it really did feel like an old-school National League game where you got to worry about pulling a pitcher and double switching and things like that. But he pulls the DH. He puts Garrett Stubbs in to pinch run, which was a smart move to try to get him to come around and score. And thankfully, he did it on the JT play or the JT double. So you're down a DH, and then Derek Hill gets a hit. But one of those games where every single part of the roster was stretched. and you really needed almost the full thing to pull out that win. And the thing that kind of sticks out to me is just the fight they showed. That is not a great Nationals bullpen. I think the Nats overall are a very frisky team. But even when they went down 5-0, it was early enough to where you felt like if they can just get a little spark here, they can get back into this thing. And they really did. So overall, one of those nights where you're just proud of the Phillies for how they fought and what they did in the ninth. All of that with two outs, Trey starting it, huge moment by Marsh, Harper single, Derek Hill extending the game. There were so many little things in this game that helped them come back to win. Just the couple that jumped out immediately. Sosa beat out a double play ball early in the game that made it a 5-3 game. Jonathan Bolin with it was 5-3 at this point. Lizardo in a bit of a jam, gets out of it, picks up his teammate, and keeps the game within striking distance. Before the JT double, James Wood almost makes a play on a ball into the stands. It was like a Steve Bartman situation, but he's not able to make the play, and then JT smokes a ball, and you're like, oh, no, is that going to hang up, and James Wood's going to catch it, but thankfully, it bounces off his glove. The Phillies are able to tie it at that point. And then Turner in the ninth, he singles, which not many of us had on our bingo card. And then Derek Hill, like I just mentioned, he was able to single after they forfeited the DH and keep the train rolling there. And the Phillies just able to pull out a really, really remarkable game. One of those regular season games that you're going to remember around here at the end of the season and for a long time as well. The Pirates game is one early in the year that stuck out when they kept fighting back and they chased down the Pirates in that game. The Mets game on Saturday when Harper hits for the cycle and Schwarber hits three home runs. And that game tonight, some of the games of the season, and that is one where we'll be talking about for a long time around here. 215-592-9494 to get in and react to this one. My guy Dave's in Maryland. What's happening, Dave?
I was all queued up to go off on the shortstop, but came up with a big hit and got the train rolling there. It was just an exciting game. Lizardo, I thought, pitched very well, other than that one inning, and that was a few just a defensive miscue, a couple soft hits, and he was mowing them down. Kirkring, obviously a little struggle there, but just a Brandon Marsh, what a story he's been this year, and good for him. He just seems like he's really come into his own. They've given him the ability to hit some left-handed pitching and, the ability to come up and hit that homer and then stop the follow is just, like you said, one of those games you won't forget this year, and hopefully they can carry some momentum into the rest of the series.
Yeah, Dave, always appreciate the phone call. And Brandon Marsh, heading into today, he was the only player in the National League with 10-plus home runs. Now he's 11. That's hitting over .310. And that moment tonight, that's like a all-star cement yourself as possibly starting the all-star game or at least being in the all-star game. And I promise it's not a troll of Spike, but, Marsh was kind of skidding there a little bit. Big motivational pump-up speech in the dugout. Hits the home run last night and then is a triple shy of the cycle night and a big double off of a lefty. I just want to clear one thing up. JT gave them the lead on that because base is clearing double there. So that made it 6-5. So yeah, just what a game. What calls by Scott Fransky per usual, the best in the business and a fun one to react to. 215-592-9494. On the other side, we'll get to the player of the game and some other things that stuck out tonight, including some thoughts on Jesus Lizardo. We'll get to all of that coming up next here on The Final Out on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back. It is the Final Out. Jack Fritz hanging out with you. Final Out is sponsored by the Philadelphia Parking Authority, offering valet park at the Philadelphia Airport. Our player of the game is Brandon Marsh. Player of the game is brought to you by South Jersey Gas. Make the smart play, save energy and money with South Jersey Gas at sjgsaveenergy.com. He had a double, single, and a big home run to tie the game. And if you watch on TV, you know, Kroc was saying, just get Marsh to the plate. Get Marsh to the plate. Get Marsh to the plate. Tell you what, I certainly would like to see him batting leadoff, Schwarber batting two, and Harper batting three on nights where they face a righty on the mound. And there was a big part of me, as Marsh is coming up, while I do love Brandon Marsh, that was punching the air that it wasn't Bryce that was in that situation, because, you know, I think that Bryce should be batting two. But nevertheless, Brandon Marsh is able to come back and hit the big home run there. And you got to give credit to Trey Turner on that, because, well, not on the home run, but with two strikes, he battled and laced the ball in the center field against Brad Lord, who's been really good this year. I think he's got like a 1.15 ERA in the month of June or something like that. In his last good stretch of games, he's been money. Heading into the outing, he was pitching to like a 2.28. He was kind of pitching his way into being an all-star. And the Phillies, they got on him. I mean, they jumped him. And they might have single-handedly taken him out of being in the all-star game. But Trey gets the hit there, and he needs that. I thought even the hit later in the inning when he came up again, a classic Trey Turner hit. But with two outs, two strikes, being able to come through, extend the game, get Marsh to the plate, it should not go unnoticed on a night like tonight, where a lot of little things had to go their way. And, you know, Trey was really, really frustrating before the ninth inning tonight. Heading into the ninth, I mean, he was, what, 0-for-4. He made another bad play in the field. Feels like the defense is regressing from last year. For the most part of this year, he's been fine. I just feel like the last 3 weeks, it's fallen off a cliff, and that's probably because he is getting more and more frustrated with his offensive performance, or lack thereof. He's still hitting the 220s, 226 even after tonight. So was good to see him get those hits. If the ninth inning didn't happen and he struck out and went down, I was going to come on here tonight and start talking about how you can't keep batting this guy leadoff. I mean, it's at some point we got to have a different strategy here, because 226 with little production from that spot is not getting the job done. But we don't have to have that conversation, because they're able to come back and win this one. Now, some other things that stuck out tonight. I thought Lizardo was really good. That fourth inning was weird. Even the first run he allowed, soft contact nonsense against Lizardo. In the fourth inning, Trey boots the ball with runners on second and third, or maybe his bases loaded. I thought Bohm was way too far in. I didn't think the defensive positioning was right on that. I know that sounds a bit excuse-making, but it just looked off, especially with two outs. I felt like he was super, super in, rather than playing back a little bit, because you do have two outs. So I would have liked an explanation on that. I thought he was in. Now, where I will be critical of Lizardo is, you know, you can't let that inning snowball after that. Like, you still have to make pitches and get outs. So I'll give him, I'll criticize him a little bit, but I do think that inning was not all his fault. I think that there was some poor defense behind him and poor defensive positioning. But he still struck out 13, which tied a career high. The Nationals do strike out. They are one of the better offenses in baseball this year, even though they don't have the most household names. But, like, they are prone to the strikeout. So that's, you know, the 13 strikeouts is very good and important. And I thought it was important that he took down a good amount of innings for this team, you know, given their kind of bullpen situation. But I thought Luzardo was really good, and I'm not letting the one inning throw me off the scent as to what I thought was a really, really solid all-around night. And then the other big thing from tonight, had they had lost, would have been Orion Kerkering, who, like, I'm dying to give high leverage spots to this year because he's been so money. He's by average exit velocity, he's been one of the best pitchers in baseball. Not a lot of hard contact. But it just feels like when he gets put into high leverage situations, he goes down his leg. And he just might be a reliever that is destined for a sixth or seventh inning role and be really, really good in that role and be an important part of that bullpen. But the more and more these years go by and the more evidence you get, I just don't trust him in a high leverage spot. Whether that's runners on, whether that's a one-run game in the eighth, it just feels like more often than not, he's not getting the job done. And it's really disappointing because I felt like he was pitching with a chip on his shoulder this year. And even after he allowed the home run, he did pitch with that chip again, but he just goes through these waves of confidence issues. You got to be a bit of an MF-er out there if you want to be a great bullpen piece. And he just, that killer instinct isn't always in there for Orion Kerkering. So really disappointed because I want him to take that next step and turn himself into an elite reliever where his stuff suggests that he should be. But there's just always that little thing that holds him back from being that. And he can be an important part of the bullpen. He can be one of your leverage guys in the seventh inning if you have a lead or sixth inning. But it just feels like as you go forward, they're always going to need a Keller type. And obviously Keller's not been great this year, but one of those kind of guys in the eighth. And a Duran type because he's not that guy. He's not that guy. He's proven it in the postseason. He's proven it over the years in tight ball games. He's not the most reliable. Runners on, not the most reliable. So it stinks, but sometimes it just is what it is. Dave is in Bensalem. What's happening, Dave?
Hey, Jack, how are you? I can't believe this. Man, I've been following the Phillies since 1971. This is one of the greatest games I've ever seen in my life. To come back from this game and win this game was absolutely phenomenal, man.
It was. And it shows you a lot about this
game. I still don't know how they did it. And my man Brandon Marsh, man, I've been working for the Phillies since 2022. And I said to everybody, this guy makes the All-Star team. I'm buying his All-Star jersey because he's been such a great contributor to this team right now. And he's just delivering whenever we need him to deliver.
He is. And you're going to have to get that jersey, Dave, because he's going to be an All-Star.
I'm definitely going to get it, Jack. I love you so much. I appreciate it. I love when I leave that ballpark and I listen to the final out with you. That was what gets me home safe to where I got to go. You're the best, Jack. Go Phillies. Win this series. Get one out in the next two and go beat the Mets. I'll talk to you soon, my brother.
All right. There he goes. Dave and Bensalem. Much appreciated, Dave. What a win tonight by the Phillies. And yes, they have a chance to go for at least to split the series with tomorrow's game. We'll get to the wow moment of the game and that look ahead to tomorrow, including your phone calls. Coming up next here on the Final Out on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The pitch swung on, hit in the air, deep right field, down the line. It is fair and gone. It's
yes!
A home run.
Oh, yeah.
Bryson Stott into the second deck with a three-run home run. Absolutely destroyed it. Did Bryson Stott, the second homer of the ninth inning, and the Phillies lead it 11-8.
Unreal. Unreal. Jumped all over it like he did against the Marlins in the playoffs, where that was also a first pitch, and bang, out of nowhere, Phillies fire off a huge, huge ninth inning, all with two outs. Started with the Brandon Marsh home run and capped off there with the Stott homer, which is our wow moment of the game, brought to you by the New Jersey Division of Travel and Tourism. From waterfalls to fairways, mountain resorts to lighthouse tours, find your wow at visitnj.com. Huge homer there. Then Sosa, another big hit. Five RBIs on the game. a game in which he wasn't even starting until like a minute or two before it. All of a sudden, he's inserted in. He's a DH. They did all that. They scored 14 runs tonight without Kyle Schwarber in the lineup. And the guy who replaced him had five RBIs in his place. I mean, if that's not baseball, then I don't know what is. Also, I did text a couple of buddies heading into the ninth. I was like, watch, the DH thing's going to come back and screw him. Now, they were already up by enough, so it didn't matter. They were up, so it didn't totally matter. I was just worried about, of course, this is going to come down to, like, Derek Hill, and he wasn't going to be able to come through. But Derek Hill, he's hitting decent since he's gotten here. It's not like he's hitting it for a ton of power, but he's a decent little player, plays a good center field, gets good reads on balls. I'm in on the toothpick thing. So a great, great comeback win. Almost was a disparaging loss. JT gives him the lead. Kirkering gives it right back. And you're like, oh, God. Like, is this National Series going to be a disaster down there and what kind of feels like a dead ballpark? But nevertheless, they're able to scratch and claw all with two outs and come back and steal one on the road in Nats Park. And I'm sure Clayton Beter was thrilled hearing all the Phillies fans getting extra loud in the ninth as they were coming back. Since last night, Clayton Beter said that he wants to beat the Phillies more than any team in baseball because we do such a great job coming down and taking over their park. Dan's in Collegeville. What's happening, Dan?
Hey, Jack. Thanks for taking my call.
What's going on?
You know what's fun? I want to talk to you about the leverage relievers. But you know what's like, what's interesting is like, I didn't love giving up on Ohapi when they got Marsh, and especially when he obviously he was going to be blocked by Real Muto. But you know, he started out having some success there, and what's actually, I hate the word, use the word refreshing, but like he has sort of like tailed off, and he's the fact that trade ends up being such a steal as it turned out to be is awesome to see. But to your point on like the leverage relievers, and it really goes back to like the game one of the Mets series when Wheeler has a 1-0 lead, we have Strom and Hoffman coming in, and I'm feeling like, wow, we're going to steal this game, and those two melt down, and it just feels like for the last few years, and I don't think it's an organizational thing, it's just watching these guys come up, and they, I think to your point, like, and I don't like sound like a Jalen Knight getting any of the intangibles, but if these guys don't have killer instincts, like they just, you know. That's why I want like a guy like Gage Wood. Like he strikes me as a guy that maybe has it. I just can't have another guy that I trust come in and then inevitably they just implode. And I don't have a solution, but just wanted your thoughts on, because I feel like it's a bigger need going into the postseason than starting pitching.
Yeah, and I appreciate the phone call, Dan. The thing with the bullpen is, I mean, you gotta kind of ride with what you have out there at this point. Heading in the deadline is so interesting because I think they need a guy that's capable of taking the ball in game four. I guess Nola could turn it around. Nola was pretty good his last time out. I'm curious to see what he looks like tomorrow. But a guy that might need to be capable enough to taking a ball in a game four. They need a right fielder. It's good to see Rincon has had two hits tonight, but I still think they need a right fielder. They might need another kind of right-handed bat there. And then, I mean, Alvarado is their real lefty leverage guy. I mean, hopefully Backes can show you something, but Alvarado's been a heart attack this year. And then from the right side, Boland did his job tonight. That was good. Keller's been really, really hit or miss. It could be a spot. Gage talked last week to Jeff Kerr and said, hell, I'll come out of the bullpen if they need me to come out of the bullpen. And he does strike me as someone who would thrive in that role, and they are managing his innings really well down there to where he is. If they wanted to, he probably would have enough innings to do it. It's just not something they need to worry about right now. But I hear Dan's point about wanting guys with killer instincts in the bullpen in the postseason. Kirkring, you worry about. We haven't seen Boland do it. I got a pretty good feel from him, but we haven't seen him do it. He was kind of shaky to begin this year. Keller does not strike me as a guy that has killer instincts. We've seen countless innings this year where it's heart attacks. So, yeah, I mean, maybe it's Gage. Maybe it is Gage. I'm not sure. But it certainly is something to think about heading into the trade deadline. Tomorrow, 6:45, me and Seltzer, a little High Hopes get together out at Garage in Rittenhouse. We'll be watching the game, so I will not be with you for the final out. But might be a good day. I don't give gambling advice on this show very often, but could be a good day to take the over, as Aaron Nola is facing Miles Michaelis. Miles Michaelis is just signed at this point to take the ball every fifth day and get smoked and pitch to a 5.8 ERA. One could argue that is also why Aaron Nola is signed, although I do believe he has more upside than Miles Michaelis at this point. So I don't know what the over-under is heading into tomorrow, but could be a good day to take the over, although maybe the Phillies and their energy will be a little zapped after coming back and winning this one tonight. So, you know, getting it going again tomorrow might take a little bit, so we shall see. But either way, looking forward to it again. We'll be at a Garage Rittenhouse, you know, hanging out. We're giving away Phillies tickets in the future, and also enjoying some Miller Lights and watching some baseball. So it should be a good night, so come on out and watch some Phillies baseball. That's going to do it for me. Luke Nichols produced the program tonight. Tom Kelly is next. He'll take it through the rest of the night here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.